Welcome to the Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church podcast. This is a production of Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, where Apostle Walter F. Camp is the senior pastor. This ministry is dedicated to the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, to the end that we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and faithfully walk in the maturity demonstrated by Christ as commanded in Scripture. Make sure you subscribe to get new messages on a regular basis. Enjoy the message, and please study along with us.
Father, we thank you for Jesus. You sent him to do the work that would bring about the salvation of mankind. And he completed it. And on this day, we especially rejoice looking back to what he did. Because of his love for us and your love for us, you sent him. His love for you, he obeyed you. And his love for you and us, he now serves as our high priest, the apostle, our mediator, and so forth. The offices that you've placed him in still working on our behalf. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, that he revealed would come and has come and is teaching. Thank you that everybody that has believed on Jesus have received him. The teacher's on the inside. Thank you, Father. The comforter is on the inside. Thank you, Father. And by having him, we have his spirit, your spirit, and Christ's spirit in us by the Holy Spirit. He talks to us. Causes us to understand those things you want us to see. And he even leads us and guides us in areas sometimes we hadn't thought about going, but it's necessary because of things you want us to see and know, people you want us to meet and connect with and work with, that your will might be carried out in the earth. For this purpose, we're alive, and we do give you praise for it. Amen. Thank God for the good things he's provided for us. And the scripture said, there is no good thing he will hold from them that walk uprightly. And I said that, my mind went back to Christy, and years ago, she wanted a husband, and she got one. And she got a husband, she wanted a baby, and she got two now. And she's just beside herself with joy. God blessing right and left and up and down, and same thing with Dump and his Heidi and thank you, Heidi and the babies, and they just going and growing. And then Whitney and Mr. Kendrick stepped in there, and they're going. Matter of fact, this is number two on the way. When's it due? June 15th. Give God a hand clap. Yeah, June 15th. So if we do our part, God will do his part. I went there because I was thinking about some things that I didn't share this morning. I thought about the babies. And almost every week, Heidi or Christy is talking about how the baby growing. You know, and one of the babies was crawling sideways. Which baby was that? Layla? Lala. Okay, she's crawling sideways. But she's crawling. She quality better now, isn't she? You see, it's because she's eating good food. And the milk from the woman's body is the best food a baby can have. God so designed it that way. Everything the baby needs is there in that milk. And somebody wanted to make some money, so they started imitating or trying to. But you can't match the original. They can get close. Not even close, really, because they're just going through the motions. But the thing is that if a baby eats right, the baby grows. And the body's so designed that way. And they're growing and maturing and all the things that should take place are taking place as they grow. You see the steps as their bodies change and certain things happen. And with them being mothers of more than one child, they know pretty much what's supposed to happen and when it's supposed to happen. So they can track the growth of the baby to be sure that he or she is on schedule. Same thing with Sherelle and Gerald. You know, they'll be here in about another week or two. But feeding the baby grows from being feeble to strong. And the stronger it gets, the more it can do. It goes from crawling sideways to crawling straight to pulling up, standing, imitating the parent. They don't see us crawling, they see us walking, so they're imitating us. Pulling up and walking. Sometimes you gotta help them a little bit, though. I remind you when Joseph was our last one, though, we shut production down back in 82. When Joseph was a little boy, he just wouldn't turn loose stuff. He walked all around the table, just wouldn't turn nothing loose, and it was time. So I found his favorite toy and reached it to him. And first he was here and I reached it and he grabbed it and I backed up a little bit because he really wanted that toy. So I reached and he grabbed it and then I reached out. I got just far enough away where he had to turn that table loose. One about 2 or 3 inches and you could tell he didn't want to turn loose but he wanted that toy. So he turned it loose and went back to the table. And I did that to train him to turn that table loose. And finally he turned it loose and he about like this now and going strong. Married and may even have a child of his own coming on. I don't know yet. We'll have to check into that and see how things are going. But anyhow, the point is we fed him. And it works. People that are weak usually have a food deficiency somewhere. And the doctors that know will tell you what food you need to eat. If you eat a balanced meal daily, you're healthy. That's the way God designed our bodies. And of course, you have to exercise. The way we live today is it makes it easy to be lazy for some of us, you know, but especially the ones that got a desk job, you have to make yourself get up out that chair sometimes. But all I'm talking about is sometimes, or really not all the time, but sometimes, but all the time, exercise is necessary. The question is, how much can you do? The wife is saying her body is responding to the exercising and eating right. And she's also finding out that if you don't eat, it won't be right. Because yesterday I checked the blood pressure cup and it showed at one time she took it, it was 188 over 123, I think it was. I said, whoa, wait a minute, look at the chart. That was very severe. You don't need to be there, you need to be under that, down to moderate or mild. So I made a phone call and she said, I'll be home a little bit. So she ate and she checked it again, it was 163 over 95. Yeah, so that's outstanding. It dropped from 123 to 95, 28 points behind one meal, which means her body is very sensitive to potassium and magnesium now. And when she ate what she ate, it dropped. I said, you'll be all right as long as you eat. But you got to eat. I went around here not eating. And mine is fine, but I still have to eat. Because if I don't, I can feel it. Amen? And don't be working like you guys are working, slinging brick. You know, if you don't eat, you don't sling brick too well. It's all about eating. Amen? That's what I understand. Eating right. Thank you, dude. Eating properly, a balanced meal. And that's basically what we're here for, a balanced meal. But the things that are true physically, also true spiritually. But we got to know they're true physically first. We got to know they're true physically, because some folk don't believe it. But it's very true, very true, very true. Anyhow, But that's how the ladies did it. They fed the baby the milk from their bodies, and they were determined to do that rather than buying this stuff that man has concocted to make money. They felt their babies were worth more than that. Hello, somebody. And how valuable you think your body is. You ought to be the same way about your own body. That's what Heidi is. She says, I don't know how much weight she's lost as she's eating right and exercising. How close are you now, Heidi, to your weight that you're trying to get to?
I need to get to like 30 pounds.
Are you sure? Be sure and coordinate with the husband. See, dump. Watch it now. See. Oh yeah. Right.
For mine, I'm only 5'4".
Yeah.
115 to like 140 is a healthy weight. So if I'm 130, that's like right in the middle. That's where I like to be.
Okay, you're making a plane for me. Help a brother. Thank you. You got that dump? Okay, all right. I got it now. We're moving right along. But it's all about eating right. Eating a proper balanced meal. If you eat it, the body responds. If we eat it, the spirit responds. You know, and so it's all about eating. I took the time to say that because it's necessary, you know. But we got to understand how we work, how our inner man needs quality food. And that's why God wants his people fed the truth. He told Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. That's all he said. Three commands. You love me? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. And Peter was grieved the third time he asked him about it. But he wanted to get the point across. Feed my lamb, the baby Christians. Feed them. Babies are more necessary to be fed than us mature folk. We need to eat too, but babies, you got to really, really watch them and care for them and feed them. That takes work. And Sister Nelson said she had 11 children. Besides the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, she was helping raise. 83, she said, I'm tired. Let Greg teach. I want to rest a little bit because Victor needed help teaching, you see. But he's very concerned. And as I've looked at what he said and what Paul said, Paul had crisis mind about caring for the people. You got to feed them. If you don't feed them, they're not strong. If you don't feed them, they're weak. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, and so that's what it's about. Go to Book of Genesis. We've been looking at our makeup as spirit, soul, and body, and we're drawing a line between the spirit and the soul to see it more clearly. And I see it fairly well, but the last few days since little David has been sharing, we've been studying it, the Lord has shown me more about it in order to better understand. Any knowledge we get from God is helpful. You can't get something from God that's knowledge is not going to help you, because grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord and God our Father. Or God our Father and Jesus our Lord. So the more you know about them, the more grace and peace you have. And we've been fairly thorough in our teaching, but it's necessary every now and then to go back and hit the basics and further define some things, to clarify some things that are basics, to make it even more obvious. And as I meditated this over the past few days, that's what God brought me to with the babies. All they did was feed them. That's all they did was just feed them, which is why Jesus said, feed them. If you feed them, everything will take place. Now, he didn't go into what will happen if you don't feed them. See, you can get distracted by the things that you don't need to know about. Now, we know we should feed them, and we know he wants us to feed them. But if I just get single-minded on feed his lamb, feed his sheep, that's going to drive me with a pastor's heart to study to feed the lambs and the sheep and those working with me, you know. From Dave on down through little Dave. And by the way, he's an apostle. And I noticed you didn't say that, though, when we was talking the other night. See, you need to tell him. See, you can change that. Yeah, you see. Okay, he's an apostle. Because Victor was just looking. No, little Dave had all that.
The light was shining. I say again, you see. But the ministry in which God has placed you, you have to do like I did. Once you know it's confirmed, I called Bishop Robinson. I got to change my intro because God done said some things. So I went on and got the intro recut. And since then, you know, I get challenged every now and then. But I didn't say it. God said it. I didn't show it. God revealed it. Then he's confirmed it with signs following, the same way he's doing in your life, you see. But the way that you carry yourself as an apostle, more people need to know who you are, because there are those who say that there are those who are apostles, and there's some who say there are apostles, but there are some who are apostles but don't take the ministry seriously. We need to, because of how people look, how some people view ministers, we need to be the best we can be so they can see that everybody ain't average. Everybody doesn't just go through the motions when it comes to ministry. Everybody doesn't just have their hand out trying to get something from you, get next to your wife or your husband, depending on the person, how messed up they may be. You see, there are some of us who take this thing seriously. There are some of us who really, really love God. And so when I see those who really don't, I rejoice the fact that at least they saved, at least they in the ministry. But it pushes me to be like Paul said, make full proof. Give yourself completely that others may see your profiting. Because they're going to glorify God and say, that man ain't playing. They may say, he look crazy, but he ain't playing. He look crazy, but he faithful. That's what they say about me, you know. He faithful, you know. But find something. You put to silence the ignorance of foolish people by well-doing, you know. So, you know, you can, next time you get up, Holy Ghost will bring it back to you. You can say, I'm Apostle Little Dave, you know. Why are you shaking your head like that? That's who he is, Little Dave. He's still Little Dave. He's just an apostle now, you see. You know. But anyhow. So anyhow, I decided as I was looking at this thing, and by Wednesday night, I didn't get my normal sleep because the Holy Ghost decided he wanted to put me in school. And I was trying to not think, and I was thinking anyhow. You ever didn't want to think and tried not to think, and the Holy Ghost said, no, we're going to think tonight. You'll be all right. Just go with me. Well, I was up last night to 3:30, and I feel great. Got 4 hours sleep. Now, after this, when I go home, you know, I'm going to crash. But now I'm running on Holy Ghost power, more so than normal. You see, because he had me up last night. And I was wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, just working, you know. The neck back got a crook in it, turn and watch that screen like this, you know. I got to turn my chair this way from now on, you see. But anyhow, but he took me back to the beginning. You know, I thought about that. I don't listen to these songs no more, y'all, but I remember some of them, you see. So way back, Troglodyte, remember that song? We're going way back to the beginning when God first started working. Go to Genesis 1, and then we'll come back up to where we are now. But I want to take you way back in order to look at this and see some things, because they need to be seen. God put it on Little Dave's heart. And some of the things that we saw, I didn't have them quite as divided as I thought I did. I had a mixture there. And there's a line drawn like Hebrews 4:12 says. You can divide, the word of God can divide the soul from the spirit. You just got to find the word to do that. You see. But the word soul and the word spirit are really synonymous. But it depends upon about what you're speaking when you draw the line. You can draw the line, but you got to study. That's what Paul told Timothy. Study. To show yourself approved. That's why Little Dave did so well Wednesday night. I was only uncomfortable with Victor because he just showed he didn't study. We just had that lesson last week about Jesus dying, you know, and he knew he had to speak. I was embarrassed for him because he's my brother. But, you know, but it went well. He rejoiced in it today, but I think he's going to study now. Okay, Genesis 1, and we find in verse 2 that, we go back to verse 1. In the beginning, God, Yahweh, created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep,
And the Spirit of God, everybody say the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And that word Spirit is 7307. And most of the time for the word Spirit in the Hebrew, you'll see that word. Now, it's a parallel or it's comparable to 4151 in the Greek. But Spirit of God moved. And it has a number of definitions. The main one that pertains to us in regard to Spirit is that the spirit is intelligent, immaterial, and immortal. In this case, an immaterial, intelligent substance. Even I'm going to email this to you once I get it finalized. But like I said, I was up to 3:30 this morning working. But God is a spirit. Maybe I should have started there. God is a spirit, John 4:24. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's that 4151 again. It has more than one meaning. But right now I'm just looking at the fact that God is a spirit. And how much of God is spirit? All of God is spirit. There is no part of God that's not spirit. That's not spirit. That's good to know. That's why Jesus said it. God is a spirit. He's an intelligent being that's immaterial. There's not matter there. It's immaterial. It's immortal. He's immortal. He's eternal, as a matter of fact. That's one of his names, the eternal. He's eternal. But he's all spirit. He's all spirit. Now, as I thought about that, there came a time where God decided to make man, Adam. So he formed the body, and the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, that's a different Hebrew word. It has a similar meaning, but it has to do with, and then man became a living soul, you see, the breath of life. And even though you look at it, it talks about wind and breath and breathing and so forth, still, this breath of life came in from inside God. When God breathed, he breathed spirit. Why? Because he's a spirit. So anything that comes from God is spirit. And matter of fact, when God breathed into Adam, he became a living soul. And actually, Adam was the first human to be God's son. The genealogy tells us that over in, is it Luke or Matthew? One or two, I forget not which. But you track it back, it tracks it back from Jesus, I'm thinking, all the way back to Adam. And it says, Adam, the son of God. Adam was not a begotten son of God. He was a created son of God. Jesus was the only begotten son of God, born of a woman who carried the seed of God in her womb. Then the holy thing born of her called the Son of the Highest. But so Adam, his body was formed from the dirt. There's your spirit, soul, body. Body was formed from the dirt. Then God breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And so what God breathed in was spirit. But when you divide it, part was Adam's soul, part was Adam's spirit. In a sense of dividing. Now, when you look at these words, which I'll look at later, and what I decided to do, though, to keep it simple, because some of these words overlap between spirit and soul. So what I decided to do was weed out the words that don't pertain to the spirit and put them on the spirit side. I mean, that don't pertain to the spirit and put them on the soul side, and vice versa for the other. In other words, keep it as simple as possible. Because when you start talking about feeling, most time when I say feeling, let me slow down a little more. Most time when I say feeling, what comes to mind? Huh? Emotions. Because that's the habit we have in looking at words. Most times we're familiar with the word feeling to mean emotions. It is emotions in a lot of areas. I might even say most. But there's an area where feeling comes in. It had nothing to do with the emotions.
Even love. If you think love is just a feeling, you're in for a bad trip. Quote unquote from Bishop Rayfield Green. You know, and I found out there's a side of love that's not had nothing to do with feelings. When you define the word love, like in 2 Timothy 1, where he said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, love, and a sound mind. Love means it's agape. It's kangra. Let me quote that thing. Let me go back and read it. Love. Agape. I.e. affection. So it's about feelings. Or benevolence. You got two to choose from. You got affection, then you got benevolence. Now, when you start talking about the spirit apart from the feeling, now you're talking about benevolence, which is kindly disposition to do good and promote the welfare of others. So it's the frame of mind you have to do good and promote the welfare of others. It ain't been done because you just love so-and-so. And I love my wife for affection. She knows that. I like that. We all like that part, amen? But when it comes to disposition to do her good, and especially if she made me mad, you don't do it because you feel like it. You do it because it's your duty to do it. As little Dave shared the other night, the responsibilities and duties we husbands have. To love her as Christ loved the church. Which means we do what's right regardless. And I had to learn that because the time or two when she made me mad, I said, well, at least I got a wife. Because I wanted a wife and I got one now. But I was upset because it was not good in the household. And it wasn't my fault. And then this voice said, yeah, and that's my daughter. And you treat her right. I said, okay. So changed my attitude real quick. I said, okay, so I fixed that, got the stuff off my mind and started helping fix the problem. Lord, what you want me to do? Ask her this question. Ask her that question, okay? Now I'm helping the situation. See, it's one thing to see the problem, but can you fix the problem? God wants us to be able to fix the problems we see, whether it's in the soul or the spirit. We can do that, but you got to know some things. Okay, so anyhow, man became a living soul, and as I thought about that, because when I need to know something, when I need to know more than what I know some stuff. Don't get me wrong, God has taught me some stuff, but there's a whole lot of stuff I ain't learned, and the Holy Ghost got some stuff He wants to learn. Amen. And so when I'm in that position where I need to know something, I want to know. Sleep don't mean nothing. Food don't mean nothing. I didn't even eat supper last night to 7:30. I got to thinking, keep 3 hours before your bedtime and your meal. So I can't go to bed for 11:30 or 10:30. Why do you go to bed at 3:30? So I was good there, you see. But so I had to make myself eat, stop and eat because I didn't want to eat. I wanted to learn. I wanted to know some more stuff. So I'm in this place of prayer, Kandua. Pharaoh called it. And it's a place where really I'm just talking to my Father, as you know, and talking to my Lord. I'm asking questions. And I'm meditating His word as I'm listening. And when I was listening, I heard this rise. My soul hates. Talking about what God said. So I started back at the beginning with God. God is a spirit. So God has a soul, God has spirit. I can divide soul and spirit. Why? Because Hebrews 4:12 says that. Well, when it comes to God, I can do the same thing with scripture, man. So I found a scripture, found two at least, where He said, my soul hates. Isaiah 1, verse 14 through 15. He says, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. Different word from spirit. It's 5:3:1:5, I believe. Yeah. Talking about the soul. It means heart,
It means, well, look, appetite as well, but we know that's talking about the soulish side. And there are some other things that you can see when you define this thing that define what he said, trying to find what his soul is. But see, we know that's talking about emotions, right? My soul hates. Hate is an emotion. That's a feeling, you see. And so when you look at the definition of soul, some definitions will say the understanding, it'll say the rational soul. It even says that in some definitions. But then some definitions go on to talk about the affection and passions or feelings, and it specifies it, like hatred and love and so forth and so forth and so forth. So you have to find the part of the definition that fits the verse at which you're looking. So he says, my soul hates. So I want to find the definition of talking about hate when it comes to the soul. That ain't talking about ration. That's talking about feelings. Amen? Same thing when you're talking about the Greek part of it, the Greek side. It's 5590, which is suke. That's talking about, as Strong's put it, the appetites and the feelings. Well, that's what God was talking about here. My soul hates your feasts, they are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear your hands are full of blood. Because they weren't living right. So his soul, he says, my soul hates the stuff y'all doing. Then he spoke again in Isaiah 42:1, it says, behold my servant, Isaiah 42:1. Now, this is a different feeling he has here. Now, this is the one I want to have by me. I know y'all do too. Y'all do too. He says in Isaiah 42:1, behold my servant. I like that. That's Pastor Harper's word, servant. He ain't playing either. Whom I upheld, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. That's good. See, he likes that. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Okay, so that's talking about Jesus as we know. And then we know when Jesus was baptized, he said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. That's that soul thing again, see. You see. And then my mind went over to when we've been talking about take it patiently, 1 Peter 2, where he says, if I get lied on, rebuked and scorned, you know, like the song said, you know. And then I take it patiently. He says, this is acceptable to him. This is pleasure. Now, the Greek word is charis, but the part that fits what that scripture talking about is pleasure. You see, he wants us to please him. Jesus said, I do only those things that please the Father, give him pleasure. I got to a point where I didn't want to shame his name no longer. I wanted to give him pleasure because I wasn't giving him pleasure. I wasn't right. I wasn't all wrong, but I wasn't all right either. You see. And so I decided to just make a change. So I did, long story short. Because he let me know I don't deserve how you're treating me. Otherwise, I ain't pleased with you. You know. And so once I knew that, I changed. All right. And that's because of the influence of his spirit on me as he reasoned with me. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Scripture says, I don't know where it is, but it's in there. He says, come, let us reason together. And see, now he's talking about talking. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you can reason with God. Now, if you're trying to get out of something, you ain't going to win. I can tell you that now. All your reasoning, he can. But see, he wants to reason together because he know we ain't thinking straight. See, that's another word. Thinking. You see. And so, therefore, when we reason with him like he reasoned with me, then I see things through his eyes. And my mind is renewed to see better. Paul talked about this, you see. But that went from feelings to reasoning. That's the dividing line. The soul is talking about the feeling side, the appetite, what I like, what I don't like, what I hate, what I want. The reasoning side is understanding, judgment, and so forth. Thinking, learning, the intellect. You see, even when it comes to gifting, like Little Dave has and Ken Wayne. Ken Wayne never, did you ever take music lessons? He just got that thing.
Bass man is a bad man. Just go over there and just get with it and be fluent. I just be enjoying because I can play like Lil Dave a little bit when I took piano lessons, but I didn't stay with it. I want to shoot basketball. So that's what I did. And I did, and I did, I did some more, you know. But anyhow, but let me find that portion in regard to the spirit of wisdom he talked about in the word over in Exodus 28, verse 3. Turn there, please. You see this in Ken Wayne, even for his Brickland is concerned. And Dump and Kendrick, you know, they're his sons, and they got that same gift. You know, and it's amazing how giftings are in families. Singers begat children that sing. Nat King Cole. Natalie King. What's her name? Natalie Cole. Hepper brother. The King wouldn't fit in there for some reason. But Natalie Cole, you know. Then you got Lionel Hampton and his daughter. Is that right? He got a daughter? Richie. Thank you. Lionel Richie and his daughter. I knew it was Lionel something. I just didn't know because I don't listen to him no more. You know, but his daughter. But you got him. You got the country western singer, Kissing Angel. Good morning. What the Winans too? Exactly, the Winans. But I'm thinking about Charlie Pride. His dad is Hank Williams. Yeah, you didn't know that? I just happened to see it. That's why he sang like Hank. Got it from his daddy. What, Junior? Well, no. Hank Williams. Junior is a whole different. Junior and Charlie Pride got the same daddy. How about that? Did I say it right then? Charlie Pride and Hank Williams Jr. got the same daddy. Hank Williams is the daddy to Hank Williams Jr. and Charlie Pride. Anyhow, no, he don't adopt it. He sang like a daddy. That dude can sing. Anyhow, let's move on. My point is, see, he done got all shocked about. I didn't really. But anyhow, moving right along. Exodus 28:3. And thou shalt speak unto that all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that in any manner that he. Yeah, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now go to Exodus 31, verse 3 and 5, and I'll finish this point. And I got one more point I want to get to. Then we're going back to 2 Timothy, because my time is getting away from me. But I want to lay the foundation right. Because, see, we don't want to rush through this. So when you come back Wednesday night, little Dave, we want to take our time and slow down. Don't be pressured. See, like I told, who did I tell this? I told Trailer. He's doing a good job, but he gets pressured because of spending time on that page with that art, with that paragraph, explaining it. And the women that are learning, mostly women, daytime tomorrow, Mondays on 12 o'clock. I said, just take your time. Because when you're leaving it, there's some folks here got some questions. And why leave it? You know, you're in charge. It's going to be every Monday, and they're there every Monday because they want to learn. So just take your time. Don't feel pressured because God keeps telling me the same thing. You know, and even sometimes God will use days. You got to explain that some more. So I'll stop and take some more time. Why? Because he sees that some people missed it. That's why we work together. You see, we help each other be efficient and thorough. Why? You got to eat right. When you feed that baby, you don't have feed it. Do you? When the baby get full, they don't eat no more. They just eat and eat and eat. And you know by the time when they get full. Because you've been watching them how long it takes to get them full. But you want them full. So God said, I want them full. And I want them full on that particular topic. So don't leave that topic and then come back to it later. Since you're there and you see you got to deal with it, take your time and deal with it. When you're building, when you're laying brick, you can go fast if you are skilled like he is. But when you start talking about people's minds, some people don't grasp as quick as others. Even with those of us that grasp it pretty quick, sometimes you have to slow down. Because I tell you, Wednesday night, I was saying, no, I won't think about this anymore. I'll get it tomorrow. And we just kept going. I said, okay, we got it going. I hear you, Lord. I hear you. Exodus 31, verse 3 and 5. With me? And I have filled him with the spirit. That's the same word spirit back up that God's spirit moved. And it's the same word spirit here too. But there's another definition I want to get to after I read this that clarifies, because spirit has more than one meaning also. Fill him, and I have filled him with the spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding, notice this, he specifies, and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass. That's Kennewayne and Dump and even Dave when it comes to recipes, you know, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. Dad was gifted like that, and so am I. And when I'm doing stuff like that, Kennewayne, I'm as happy as a George. I'm happy as all get out. A kid with a new toy. It's therapy. It's therapy. When we were having problems at times and I'd get it settled and I want to get my mind off of it, I just go back over to Wakefield. And I was so happy over on Center Street. Why? Because building stuff and taking stuff apart, that's just joy to me. You know? That's how I got into this. I walked into the men's upholstery shop and there was a chair that was partially stripped. I said, boy, I'd like to learn that. That's what I said on the inside. And then when I was going around from place to place trying to get a job, and I got one job selling insurance because God sent me there to get my mind right, to talk to people, because I couldn't talk to people. I knew it. And so he taught me 3 months how to talk to people and earn a living, and earn a living and talk to people. And so he said, when I left, and cause it was on me to go, I said, Lord, you just sent me here. So I went to her mother. I got to find out what's going on. This is tripping me out. So I went to Bible study one Tuesday night, and she was teaching. I never got a chance to ask my question. She just, at the end of the teaching, started prophesying. And she said, yes, Walter, God wants you to leave that job. And when you go, do what you first started to do. Duh, what's that? I don't know what that was. But I know what I'm supposed to do. Leave this job. So I left that job, like the Lord said. And the man said, I know you're going to leave, just didn't know when. I went home. And about the third day, it just popped in my mind. Learn upholstery. Oh, that's what it was? I went down to Hunter's upholstery shop. I want to learn. I pay you $2 an hour. I said, no problem. God said, work for you. You get it for $2 an hour. And somebody said, I ain't going to work for nobody for $2 an hour. Well, you just don't want to learn then. How about that? Is that true? So I took what he gave out for $2 an hour, but I learned some stuff. And I know some stuff, you see. And that's how I got hired working at Falcon Jet. And I was there a year and a half, and then my other job for 27 years, doing what I learned for $2 an hour and being mistreated. But it was short-lived. It was temporary. It was only about 6 months. And I was out of there. All right. So anyhow, so this word spirit here is the same word spirit, but it don't fit when you start talking about breath or life or a rational being. Rational being fits a bit, but it's rational being. But he's talking about what the being has, you see. Its expression and functions fits pretty good. But still, I went further. So I defined the word spirit from the 1828. And it's, there was this word genius that caught my attention. That's you, Kennewayne. That's you, Dump, Kendrick, and even Heidi and what she does. The peculiar structure of the mind, everybody say mind, which is given by nature to an individual, they're born with it, or that disposition or bent of mind, frame of mind, which is peculiar to every man and which qualifies him for the particular employment, a particular natural talent, playing music, singing, whatever. My case, taking things apart, putting them together. For a particular study or course of life, as a genius for history, for poetry, or for painting. You see. So that word genius, I thought that meant that somebody really, really smart. I found out, don't mean that. It does mean that, don't get me wrong, but I found more about it. It's another word for spirit, but it's talking about the gifting that God gives us. It's in our spirit, the spirit of wisdom, to do these things, whatever it may be. Now, and so one more verse I want to get to about spirit, and then we're going to look at 2 Timothy briefly because my time's gone. Job 32, this came to mind in one of the definitions I was reading about spirit. Webster used it. And I backed up to get the 6th verse 2 because that way you get the context of it. But in Job 32, you find these words. And it fits what we're talking about. When you read it, you'll see what I'm saying. It says this. Everybody with me? As they say, and sometimes I still hear pages turning. Most time you can't say that, though. Like that technology, you don't hear no fingers going across the tablet. And Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, that's verse 6. Thank you. Verse 6. We're going to back up to verse 6 and read through verse 8. Elihu's a young man. These are the friends of Job. And he says, I'm young and ye are very old. That got my attention. Why are you saying very old? Why can't you just say old? What's that with very old? Anyhow, moving right along. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion or knowledge. That word opinion means knowledge. So he got some knowledge in his spirit. I said in my own self, days should speak. In other words, people that's got a lot of days should speak. And multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit, that's the same word spirit, for back up in when the spirit moved, in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So what he knew came from God. And what we know comes from God. It comes to our spirit. Now, when we say that, we fast forward over in the New Testament. We'll jump back a little bit. I'll just remind you of some things. In Luke 24:45, he doesn't mention the word spirit, but this is before the men are born again. He's explained some things, but now he's about to open the understanding. And so in 45th verse, scripture says, Then Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And this has been done in a man who's not born, men who are not born again yet. They will be. But he can do that because all the people that knew what they knew before Jesus rose and died and rose, there was God opening their understanding to teach them what he wanted them to know. And then, now this is one I really like. Ephesians 1, 17 through 18, two verses. Paul says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice that, is the Lord Jesus Christ as a God, and is our Father, his Father. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, there's that word again, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints. And that word spirit there is pneuma. But he talks about here the faculty in us that has to do with our understanding. And as I say that, as I move on quickly along, as we looked at the word for grace, and we explained the divine influence upon the heart. The heart, really, when you define it, it's a combination. It's the inward man. It's a combination of the spirit and the soul. One definition talks about the understanding and yada and yada. The other talks about the feelings that the heart has. The heart. And so that's why, as it came to mind, when we preach the gospel, Romans 10, they believe in their heart. Believe in their heart. But here he's talking about the understanding being enlightened. So that's the side of the heart that's being enlightened, even after we get born again. Okay? Now, let's see. And I'll say this, and then we're going to look at 2 Timothy now. 1. I thought about Jesus in the garden. It came to mind. He said, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful. That's feeling. Even under death, right? Okay, now let's go to 2 Timothy 1 again. Now this is where I got shocked at what I didn't know that the Holy Ghost taught me. And what threw me was the word fear. And as I shared last, there's more than one type of fear, yes, But really, as I found here, the word fear never should have even been used. It threw me. Because fear is an emotion. Emotions take place in the soul when you're drawing the line. Okay, I got ahead of myself a little bit, but let's look at this scripture. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Then over in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, he says, be strong. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, as little Dave shared that night, be strong. And what I learned was, I thought be strong meant stay unshakable. There we go again. Have unshakable dependability. Said it right that time. But actually, this is talking about being made strong, being strengthened. It's true we should be unshakable in our dependability, but this verse is not saying that. This verse is saying be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened there. Be made strong there. Now, as I step back, see, I had to step back and look at them. I stepped back far enough, I could see the force. Paul was talking about, when you look at this, and I saw a glimpse of it, but I ignored it because I was thinking fear, you know. But when you look up the word fear, it means timidity. We know that. Timidity has more than one meaning. Being shy and having fear is a valid definition. But there's another synonym I saw but kicked to the curb until the Holy Ghost brought me back to it. I spell it for you. It's called PUSILLANIMOUS. I heard somebody say it. Huh? Did you say it, Heidi? Pusillanimous. Is that right? PUSILLANIMOUS. Pusillanimous. I think I broke it down phonetically. Yeah, pusillanimous. Well, I looked that up. And Gill, John Gill, I went, because I hadn't used it going to the commentary because I thought I knew this 2 Timothy thing. So John Gill used that same word. And it means destitute or wanting of a manly or courageous strength and firmness of mind. Semicolon. Of weak. Everybody say weak. Weak spirit. Semicolon. Set of persons as a pusillanimous prince, evincing or characterized by weakness of mind. So, when he said what he said, he said, God didn't give you a spirit of a weak mind. It wasn't about fear. That's a valid definition, but not for this verse. And it went on. Faint-hearted was another synonym. That's an adjective. And it meant easily depressed or yielding to fear. Yielding to fear. If my mind is weak, it's not strong. If my mind is weak, I yield to fear. What Paul dealt with was the solution to the problem, not the effect of what happens, but the solution to the problem. He dealt with the fact, Timothy, your mind is weak. God didn't give you a weak mind. He gave you a mind of power, love, being disposition or disposed to do well, and sound mind or self-control. If you can control yourself, you ain't weak. Hello, somebody. You ain't weak. You see? And so he tells him, be strengthened in the grace of God. And grace and peace is multiplied to the knowledge of God. Then he tells him later down in 2 Timothy 2, study. He keeps bringing back his ministry. Stir up the gift. What's the gift? The ministry that was in him. He's a minister. But he needs to stir up that gift. You see? Because the man you got is weak, and God didn't give you that. So he's talking about the weak man, a man that's weak. You're not talking about fear. See, he's talking about the solution. This is why I started with the babies. If they feed the babies right, the baby never will have any weakness in them. Babies fed right, don't be weak. And Lala, Lele, Lele, Lala, 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 Lala. Lala, did the doctor ever say she was weak? Why? Because she wasn't weak. Why? Because you feeding her. That's why Jesus said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. That's the solution. See, I got hung on the word fear like the translators did, and I got distracted. Now, it's true that he was yielding to fear, but that wasn't what Paul was talking about. Paul was talking about you got a weak man. That's why he used the word spirit as opposed to soul. You see? But the point is that he was talking about the man being strengthened, the man being strengthened, and the man not being weak no longer. That's why he said, comfort the feeble-minded. That's why he said, feed the sheep. That's why he said, take heed over the flock, Acts 20, that the Holy Ghost made you overseer, and feed them. Feed them. That's why in Ephesians 4, he says, speak the truth in love. Why? So they can grow, be like Lala and Sophia. Boy, I had to stop then, you see. Because if you feed them, they won't be weak if they eat. But then Peter said, desire the sense and meaning of the word that you may grow thereby. And Christians say, Sophie, eat everything come out of food-wise. And Lala probably the same way, too. They just be eating up stuff. Well, they won't be weak ever. Why? Because they're eating. Well, the only reason Timothy was weak, man, was because he hadn't been eating properly. And so Paul deals with that and gets him back around to it, you see. And then I thought about this as we go get the kids, somebody. Then when really started coming, Kenny Wayne, I thought about what you said. When you preached about David, why was David's mind not weak? Thy law is my meditation. Your testimony, boy, I tell you, I ain't even going there, little Dave. But I'm feeling better. I say it like that. See, y'all thought I was finna say something else, and I almost did. but he said, thy testimonies are my meditations, for I have more understanding than all my teachers. But he meditated God's word, day and night. Oh, how I love your law. And he didn't really know, but he was keeping a strong mind. So when Goliath showed up, who is this? Uncircumcised Philistine to defy the arm of the living God. And the other folk were in the ditches. Why? Weak minds. It's all about the mind. But if you eat right, you won't get a weak mind. You just got to concentrate on eating right. That's all. If you eat right, everything is fall in place. And exercise yourself. You see, on top of that, another thought came to mind. A wise man is strong. And a man of knowledge increases in strength. Glory. You see, then I said, that means what we learn, what we know in our spirit, as God enlightens our spirit, affects the soul and the condition it's in. You see? And then I thought about the main one, you brought this up too, Ken, where he said, a man of understanding is of excellent spirit. Excellent being defined as cool. You can be cool around it. Why? Because of what you understand. But you gotta understand some stuff. So there again, you don't understand unless you're getting fed. But it's understanding in the heart, understanding in the mind, the judgment. You see? And so Paul was talking about Timothy's mind being weak. He wasn't talking about fear. That's a legitimate definition. But when we look at the context of what he's talking about, he never mentioned fear. He just started talking about strength and power and getting strong. Why? Because the boy was weak-minded. And you guess what? I'm going to say this and I'm through. That word timidity shows up One time in the Bible. That's the only place where it's used. The only place where it's used. In 2 Timothy 1:7. That's the only place where it's used. The only place. And it has that definition. And only one commentator really saw it. And that was John Gill. Pusillanimous. I think I said it right. You know. But it has to do with being weak-minded. Weak-minded.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us today. Worship at Rice Memorial begins with Sunday School at 9:30 a.m., followed by praise and worship at 10:45. And on Wednesday nights, we have Bible study from 7 to 8. Children's Church is also available, where they can receive the Word of God on their level. Once again, don't forget to subscribe to get new messages on a regular basis. You can also like us on Facebook and visit our webpage at ricememorialbaptistchurch.org. Rice Memorial is located at 15th and State in Little Rock, but for the time being, we're worshiping on Mary Street, just behind Kaufman Lumber, until our new building is completed. And until next time, continue to walk in the footsteps of Christ and love as He commands.